Welcome to your interactive lecture for week 11, Persuasion. Persuasion is perhaps the trickiest subject that we'll cover. That's because it requires a lot of different skills, such as understanding your audience's current stance on the issue and what will be persuasive to them, using evidence, developing a strategy, creating an argument, and using tones and details strategically. In this lecture, we'll be exploring persuasion by thinking about a common workplace genre, the resume and cover letter. In this section, you'll think about how you can use your persuasion skills to get hired. But first, let's review what you learned in the readings and reflect on your mind map. This is the beginning of a new module, so thinking about what we learned in our mind map will help us be successful in this new context. Let's think about the mind map that you created with your group for module number 4. Hopefully, you're able to find some connections between all of the modules. You can consider, what are the most important ideas that have come up so far? What are your unanswered questions? How do you think you'll use the knowledge you gained in other modules to study this topic? Did everyone in your group make the same connections? Did anyone disagree? You don't have to have the perfect answers for these questions, but taking a few moments to reflect will help to prepare you for success in module number 5. Before we begin, let's review what we learned in the readings. If you haven't done the readings, you might want to go back and do them now. So I'll read out the questions and then I will give you the options for the answers, and then I'll explain which one is correct. Question 1. Your friend Jake wants you to open a business with him. He tells you the main reason you should invest is because his business partner has already opened 4 other successful businesses. Jake is using A. Logos, B. Ethos, or C. Pathos. The answer is B. Ethos. So Jake is using the reputation of his business partner to get you to agree. And ethos is when we draw on someone's reputation in order to make a persuasive argument. Next, Jake shows you a chart that projects the earnings that the business could make within 2 years. Jake is using A. Ethos, B. Pathos, or C. Logos. The answer is logos. Jake is using facts and data to persuade you. You tell Jake that you don't want to invest. He tells you that it's always been his dream to open the business, and if you don't invest, he'll never be happy. Jake is using A. Ethos, B. Logos, or C. Pathos. And the answer is C. Pathos. Pathos is when we try to draw on our reader's emotions or create an emotional appeal. And this is an example where pathos is being used in a way that's probably unethical or designed to make someone feel guilty. However, all of our arguments will contain at least a small amount of pathos. So we'll talk later about how we can use pathos effectively. Next question. What is the goal of a spectrum of allies analysis? A. To sort people according to how much they agree with your cause, so you can develop a strategy to shift them slowly towards you. B. Develop a plan to make everyone agree with you. Or C. To focus on the people who are most opposed to you. The answer is A. The goal of a spectrum of allies analysis is to sort people according to how much they agree with you, so from strongly opposed to strongly agree. And the idea here is that you're not going to turn someone who is strongly opposed to strongly agreeing with one persuasive strategy. So your goal is to slowly shift people. So for example, if there's people who are neutral to your cause, you might try to shift them slowly towards being, slightly favorable or passively favorable. And in that way, maybe you can shift them a little later to being actively favorable. So the goal is not to try to take someone who's super opposed and overnight turn them into your biggest champion. And that goes back to what we've talked about in the CMAP lecture, where we thought about our purpose and how sometimes if we have a purpose that is not appropriate for the situation, our communication can fail. So spectrum of allies analysis helps you develop a communication strategy that is appropriate for the situation and realistic. But before we start, let's explore the idea of persuasion a little more thoroughly. What would be a definition of persuasion? It's simply convincing someone to change their position or perspective about something. We persuade people every day in big and small ways. For example, you might convince your roommate to watch your favorite movie, or your manager to let you have time off. We can also think about the ethics of persuading someone. Have you ever had someone try to change your mind in a way that made you feel uncomfortable? Why did it make you uncomfortable? These are questions we'll explore. But let's focus on writing job application materials, since this is a way that we can learn about persuasion in a really practical, hands-on manner. You have a very short space to convince an audience that they should invite you for an interview when you're writing cover letters and resumes. When you write a cover letter and resume, you're doing a lot of different types of persuasion. You're persuading an audience that you have the qualifications to do a good job. You're persuading them that you would be a good coworker. And you're also persuading an audience why you do a good job even if you're not a perfect fit. You're also demonstrating your ability to write clearly and concisely and to organize information. So you're doing a lot in a really small space. Before we start writing our cover letter and resume, let's think about audience analysis. When you send in a cover letter and resume, you're often communicating to several different audiences, and this is what can make them tricky. So computer algorithms can scan your resume and cover letter for keywords to determine how long you've held a particular job, and even how positive you are. In the job application materials section of your textbook, you'll get more advice about tailoring your resume and cover letter to an algorithm. But you could also have an audience of someone who works in human resources who may not be an expert in your field. For example, a hiring manager might be involved in hiring an administrative assistant, a bookkeeper, and a marketing manager at the same time. They aren't an expert in any of these jobs. So if you use too much specialized language, or language that doesn't match the job description, they might not realize that you're qualified. And your final audience is a boss, employer, or coworker. So if you make a short list, your resume and cover letter will be sent to someone who understands your job and might even be someone that you're working with. They will usually decide who's going to be interviewed. So you have a couple levels of audience. If you don't get through the computer algorithm, you might not make it to a live human, and you certainly might not make it to a live human who understands your job. So let's take a look at how to read a job and see if we can learn a little bit more about our audience. We're going to do an activity. I'd like to go to Indeed.com or another job hunting website and find a job that you might be eligible for either right now or after graduation. Read the job posting and perform the following actions. 1. Underline any keywords that you find. A keyword could be a skill, such as writing, conducting audits, a piece of software, such as Excel or QuickBooks, or a trait, such as positive thinker. Look at these keywords and come up with the top 5 most important keywords. Then, write down one sentence about what you think the company culture might be like. Does the job posting stress that it's a fun, energetic place to work, or does it seem very formal? What do you think it would be like working there? Lastly, go to a company's website and write down one thing that you learned about the company. So, again, we're doing 4 things. We're finding a job posting, then we're underlining keywords that we find, or you could copy and paste them however you want to do that. We're looking at the keywords and trying to come up with the top 5 most important keywords. We're writing down one sentence about what we think the company culture might be like based on the job posting. So, does it seem like it's cool and laid back? Does it seem like it's formal? Then we're going to the company's website and just writing down one thing that we've learned about the company. And you might want to pause the lecture here. So let's take a look at a sample response for a marketing coordinator. Just to give you a sense of the types of responses that you could have. So the first question, look at these keywords and try to come up with the top 5 most important keywords. So here I came up with marketing plan, generate online paid campaigns, strong writing skills, create marketing collateral, and 5 years progressive experience. Next question, write down one sentence about what you think the company culture might be like. I know that this job ad is written in quite formal language and uses the term excellence, data-driven, and responsibility. This makes me suspect that they are more on the formal side. Next question, go to a company's website and write down one thing you learned about the company. I noted that the website gave me a sense that they're a company with quite a few older employees. Their website doesn't appear up to date, which makes me wonder about the role that marketing currently plays in their strategy. By now, your research may have led you to realize that this is not the ideal job for you. That's the idea of doing a little bit of research. If you're going to spend 40 hours a week at your job, it's best to know early if it's not the right position. This also allows you to tailor your job applications to a narrower range. So rather than sending out 100 job applications, you can send out 5 that you work really hard on, and often that will lead to more success. Now, look over what you found. With your current experience, do you meet some of the criteria or all of the criteria? Even if you don't meet all of the criteria, it's okay to apply. When a company writes a job posting, they're imagining their dream employee. They might not find someone with everything on the list. Look over what you wrote and ask yourself, A, How can I demonstrate that I have the top qualifications they're looking for? Make a note of how your past experience, in school or in work, shows that you have the top five qualifications that you identified. For example, if one of the things I identified in the previous slide was that a marketing plan was a top five keyword, I would want to show times in which I've made a marketing plan. Why would I want to work for this company? We'll need this information when we write a cover letter. Is there anything about my experience that might confuse my audience? For example, maybe you've been a bookkeeper in the hospitality industry and you need to show how you could be a bookkeeper in the retail industry. Or maybe your job title was technically a bookkeeper, but you took on a lot of extra responsibilities because it was a small company, and you're therefore suited for a greater range of positions. Make some notes about what you learned. And again, you might want to pause here. So, customization is the key. One of the major mistakes that people make with their cover letter and resume is sending out the same one to everyone. As you can see from the previous exercises, every company will have different criteria, a different company culture, etc. It's better to customize 5 job applications than to send out 100 of the same application. Now, we'll learn how to take our audience analysis skills and use them to make our job materials more persuasive. Focusing on your accomplishments, not your job duties. According to popular HR blogger Allison Green of Ask a Manager, you should focus on, quote, what you did beyond the job description, end quote. Thinking about your work experience this way allows you to be more persuasive and also more specific. For example, most people who work as a marketing coordinator update a website, but not everyone redesigns a website using SEO, search engine optimization, best practices to generate a 300% increase in traffic. Everyone who works at a gas station deals with customers, but not everyone is called upon to resolve conflicts or communicates in multiple languages or won an Employee of the Month award for their customer service. Thinking about what you accomplished rather than the job duties you performed will help you decide what to put in your cover letter and resume. Show, don't tell. This relates to a common principle that creative writers are often told, show, don't tell. Often, it can be tempting to write phrases like, I'm a good writer, or I'm a strong leader. But this isn't very persuasive. I could say that I'm a rocket scientist, but that doesn't make it true. Instead of telling your audience that you have these skills, think about how you can show that you have these skills. For example, telling would say, I'm a strong leader. Showing would say, I led a team of 6 people. Telling would say, I'm a good writer. Showing would say that you submitted a cover letter and resume that simply demonstrates your writing skills. Telling would say, I'm a positive person. Showing would be choosing positive words and creating a positive tone. So when we're thinking about our qualifications, we can think how we can show them, how we can help people to see that we have those qualifications. So let's test our knowledge. Before we apply these concepts to your own job application materials, let's take a quick minute to review them. So I will read out a quote and you will tell me whether it's a job application or accomplishment or a job duty. I began on the graveyard shift and was promoted to the busiest shift within 3 months. Accomplishment or job duty? It's an accomplishment. This person showed that they were given extra responsibility that not everyone gets. I worked with customers. Accomplishment or job duty? It's a job duty, since probably everyone in that job would work with customers. I was ranked in the top 3% of all customer service agents for both customer satisfaction and sales. Job duty or accomplishment? That would be an accomplishment. Now let's think about telling versus showing. I balanced going to school with working full-time and still received Employee of the Month twice. Is that showing or telling? That is showing, because the person is demonstrating how they have the qualities of being a hard worker. I worked hard. Is that showing or telling? It's telling. And you can probably see that saying, I balance going to school with working full-time and still received Employee of the Month twice, makes you think, oh wow, that person is a hard worker. If the person simply says, I worked hard, you might not have that same reaction. So let's do a free write. Pick a job that you've had, any job that you've had. If you don't have a strong employment history, you can also reflect on your school career. So you can write about maybe a particular course or your experience in a program. And I want you to write about what did you do that the average person holding the job wouldn't have done. And remember that these don't have to be huge accomplishments. In nearly every job, you can find a time when you went above the job description and did something particularly well. See if you can come up with 5 to 10 accomplishments. So again, you're picking a job that you've had, and then you're seeing if you can come up with 5 to 10 accomplishments. And you might want to pause here. So let's talk about what we can put in a resume. And one thing that we should mention is that the idea of a resume as sort of a one sheet of paper that you hand to people is rapidly evolving. So if you've been applying for jobs lately, you may notice that you were asked to take your resume and put them into little boxes submit them that way. And that is, again, a way that algorithms are reading resumes. But in a resume, you're going to put in your contact information, your profile or highlights. This is just a few quick highlights of your strengths and accomplishments, and you want to use this instead of an objective section. And the reason why is that this is something, if someone is simply scanning your work, they can scan and they can pick out, here's a one sentence description of you. So this might be something like marketing manager with 5 years of experience in designing innovative, effective social media campaigns or something. Experience. You want to list your job from the most to least recent, and you also want to make sure that you've listed your titles and the years that you worked there. Underneath each, you'll have bullet points, and these should mostly focus on your accomplishments, not your job duty. You'll want to list your education, and if your GPA is impressive, you can put that in there too. And then from there, it really depends on what is most persuasive about you. So some people have sections for volunteer work, some for skills, some for publications, some for awards or honors that they received. But what you want to make sure that you don't include are subjective skills, so things like hard worker, and mentions of high school once you're a few years out of high school, because that's not as relevant anymore. So let's take a look at focusing on accomplishments, not job duties, in the experience section of your resume. So let's say that I was applying for the marketing coordinator job that I studied earlier in the lecture. And let's pretend that I have 2 years of experience as a marketing and communications coordinator. Here's how I could represent my experience by focusing on my accomplishments. And I can also make sure to use keywords effectively. So let's say that this is the job that I've held for 2 years. Let's say I'll put that I'm the marketing communications coordinator from June 2018 to present for Snacky Snacks Food Production. And then I have my bullet points here. Generated an online paid campaign for the launch of the Snack Pack Supreme, which exceeded our sales targets by 30%. Use my strong writing and graphic design skills to create a full suite of marketing collateral, including vendor brochures, online ads, signage, and print and digital advertising. Work with a team of 3 people to create and execute innovative marketing plans. You can see here that I focused on my accomplishments, and I've also tried to make things specific. So, for example, rather than saying that I'd done online paid campaigns, I talked a little bit about how that exceeded expectations. If the job title had asked for that I would be able to design marketing collateral, I've given a range. And I've also been able to show some of those soft skills that maybe the job application was asking for in action. So rather than just said, I have strong writing skills, I have talked about how I've used my strong writing skills and graphic design skills to design a full suite of marketing collateral. So this is one example, and if you're not in marketing, you might listen to some of this and not be able to understand what it's about. And that's okay, because even if a human resources manager is reviewing this, they are going to be able to match the language that you use to the job ad and see that you're qualified. So here is the one that was focused on accomplishments. Here is one that's just focused on job duties, so one that's not very effective. So again, marketing communication coordinator for Snacky Snacks Food Production. I used SEO on a new product launch last year by the company. My teachers and friends say I'm the best writer they know. I'm a real people person. So again, we're talking about a lot of the same skills. But because we have focused on the job duties, and because we focus on abstract things, and we've told, not shown, you can see how this is less persuasive. So let's compare my teachers and friends say I'm the best writer I know, to I use my strong writing and graphic design skills to create a full suite of marketing collateral, including vendor brochures, online ads, signage, and print and digital advertising. So again, these are both the same people who have the same experience. However, because of one has taken care to focus on accomplishments rather than job duties and has shown instead of telling, the first will be probably more successful. So let's try an activity. Taking what you learned in your free write, create a resume section for that job. So in your free write, you thought about the job that you did and focused on your accomplishments, not your job duties. See if you can create a resume section for that job. Not every bullet point in your resume needs to be an accomplishment, but see how many you can include. And again, you might want to pause here. Let's move our discussion to the cover letter. According to Allison Green, who we talked about earlier in the section, the cover letter should accomplish a lot of tasks in a short space. Present evidence about why you're a good candidate. Show why you'll do well at this particular job. Show why you want this particular job. Show why you'd be a good match for this particular company. And if you're not a perfect match, show why you do a good job anyhow. Again, that's a lot to do, given that the cover letter should be around a page. Remember, however, that the cover letter should supplement your resume. There's no point just repeating your resume. So you can use a space to add new information. Let's take a look at an example. Dear Mr. Sekula, thank you for considering me for the co-op internship at A+ Accounting. I was excited when I saw this job listed because I admire how your organization provides low-cost services to nonprofit organizations and how you match charitable donations. I'm in my fourth year of the accounting program at Kwantlen Polytechnic University, and I have a 3.87 GPA. My GPA for accounting courses alone is 4.0. I was recently part of a four-person student team that won the Achieve 2019 competition. To win, we had to work collaboratively and conduct extensive analysis under pressure. I've also completed numerous projects that require me to use Sage and QuickBooks. I love watching YouTube tutorials to figure out how to do advanced tasks in Sage. In the workplace, I'm known for my professionalism and reliability. My perfect attendance and ability to make customers feel welcome earned me an Employee of the Month award at a local hardware store. I also took initiative to get certified in industrial first aid and forklift operation, which led me to becoming the youngest person to ever get promoted to lead hand at Random Warehouse. I think I would be a good fit for your team, and I would appreciate the chance to discuss my qualifications further in an interview. Please contact me at blank if you have any questions. Thank you for your consideration. So, the student here is doing a few things well. First of all, they've explained why they want to work for this particular company. They've also focused on their accomplishments. And the job posting contained a lot of mentions of subjective skills like reliability and punctuality. And so rather than just saying, I'm reliable or I'm punctual, they've quantified it. Even though they don't have a lot of experience in accounting, they've also shown how their other work history makes them qualified. So sometimes that's the challenge when you're starting out in an industry, is that you need to connect past experience that may not be in the same field with what you're doing now. They've also edited their cover letter carefully, and they focused on their most persuasive evidence, which is their school accomplishments first. Sometimes when people are writing cover letters, they get told, have one paragraph about your job and one paragraph about your school. But this doesn't consider the audience's needs, because for different candidates, different parts of your experience may be more or less relevant. So you want to put your most persuasive evidence first. So for the next activity, go back to the job posting that you studied earlier in the lecture and write an outline for a cover letter. It's okay if you don't yet have all the qualifications for the job, so you can make some stuff up for the purpose of this activity. So again, you can pause here, go back to the job posting that you studied earlier in the lecture, and pretend that you were applying for it. Write an outline for a cover letter. And again, if you don't yet have all the qualifications, it's okay to make some stuff up. So in this lecture, we analyzed an audience and used that information to develop a persuasive strategy. We also came up with evidence to persuade an audience, such as focusing on your job accomplishments and not your job duties. We also learned how to use persuasion in cover letters and resumes. The skills that you've learned here can be applied to other persuasive situations. If you want to learn more about writing cover letters and resumes, you can read the Communicating for Employment chapter in your textbook.